FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and well, you know, we've only got a couple more days left in February. It's February 26th, 2018. Well, market looks like it's slouching a little bit. Is it getting ready to pull back further or make yet another advance to record territory? Well, we'll know that within the next week would be my guess, but keep watching. Hey, as always, be part of the show. Just email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. We answer all. So, you know, the wealthy truly are different than you and I. And one of the ways that they're most different is the way that they invest and the way you and I invest. Two totally different ways. And, well, got Buck Joffrey with us, Wealth Formula Podcast. Find him at wealthformula.com. Buck, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kerry. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, we're grateful that you come back on, Buck. So, you know, F. Scott Fitzgerald said the wealthy truly are different than you and I, and probably no greater example of that than in the way that the wealthy invest, right?
I think that's true. Absolutely.
And what do you think is the biggest difference of the way, say, the wealthy invest as opposed to if you're a doctor or a lawyer and the way you're investing?
Yeah. So, you know, the way I think about it, so remember, I am a physician myself. I started out practicing. I finished my training probably about 8 years ago, and I started practicing. And that was around 2008. And started seeing like all these people who I was working with who'd been at it for, you know, three decades at a time, losing half their portfolio. And meanwhile, you see some of the, you know, ultra wealthy people out there, for some reason, it didn't seem to affect them. And if anything, a lot of them were excited because it was a way to create even more wealth. So that stuck with me. And so I wanted to try to figure out what, you know, what the difference was and what they were doing. And it's if it was something that I could do. And when I realized that fundamentally the biggest difference in terms of the ultra wealthy and the rest of us is actually a couple of things. One is mindset and understanding, you know, that that conventional wisdom, conventional financial wisdom is really not in, you know, it's really it's manufactured, and it's meant to keep the middle class and the poor, and to a certain degree, you know, the, you know, high paid professionals where they are rather than migrating upwards. It's that conventional financial wisdom is manufactured by Wall Street. So you keep dumping your money into mutual funds, things that are just never going to make you any money. And when I realized that, I was like, wow, this is such a, you know, amazing revelation, that I wanted to just kind of keep digging into it. And so fortunately for me, part of why I don't practice anymore is because I don't want to, and now I don't have to, because I think I've figured out a number of the, of those secrets and have been able to take advantage of it. The thing, the biggest thing to remember though, is that the ultra wealthy don't invest in things where they don't already know the outcome. It's a difference between speculating, which is what most of us do, and financial engineering is what the ultra wealthy do. And the good news is that a lot of these secrets, as I would call them, are actually available to, you know, the professional class, you know, the six-figure class. I'm not talking about millions of dollars. I'm saying you make over $100,000 a year. A lot of these, you know, quote unquote secrets are there for you. You just have to know to go take advantage of them. And so that's what my show is all about, is just, you know, peeling back that veil and letting people, you know, live a invest like the wealthy.
So it's kind of a thing of fake it till you make it, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think what you find is that a lot of these things, it's not like the ultra wealthy are not letting you into the secret. It's just because you don't know about it, right? I mean, let me give you an example, Terry, because I think this one just, you know, to me is mind-boggling when I realized that you were talking about the markets were down a little bit today, and could we end up having a big correction again or what? Well, we certainly will, right? We live in a massive bubble. But, you know, one product that I discovered, and even Tony Robbins talks about this a little bit in that, you know, great big book he wrote about money, you know, something about, you know, figuring out the game or whatever, but you don't really go into it really. But there's this product that basically allows you to invest in the S&P 500 and follow the S&P 500 and take all of the upside or, you know, up to about 12 or 13% of the upside and none of the downside, right? So if the market corrects 50%, you don't participate in that. But if the market goes up over 12%, 12, 13%, you get to take a part of that. And on top of that, if you make over $100,000 a year, you can leverage the upside. So instead of making just 12 or 13%, if the market goes up 20%, you can take that 12 or 13% with additional leverage. So now you're basically following the market all the way up where it would go on a great year. But then on a bad year, you're not taking any losses. That's called financial engineering, right? Mm-hmm. But that's available to people who are making over $100,000 per year. How many people know about it though? Very, very few, right?
True. Very true. So you can actually do that, but what about you? Usually with leverage, yeah, your upside potential goes up, but your downside risk goes up as well.
Yeah, I mean, in this situation, the issue is that the actual principal never has a loss on it, right? So you can have a zero. Basically, if the S&P 500 goes down by 20 or 30%, you don't take that. So the idea, though, is that over the course of, you know, multiple years, you can, what you're really relying on is that, you know, you don't have like 10 years in a row where you're where you have a down market. And so this particular product that I'm talking about, we call it Velocity Plus. And if anybody's interested, they can go to wealthformulabanking.com and check it out. We did a webinar on this, wealthformulabanking.com. It's called Velocity Plus. And it was stress tested through the Great Depression retrospectively, right? So the worst time in American history, obviously. And even with that stress test, it came out that people who would have invested in this way would have come out ahead. So I feel pretty confident in it. And again, to me, it's like, okay, well, investing the way most of us do it is investing without guardrails. But the ultra wealthy and this product in particular used to only be available to people with net worths of $15 to $20 million at a time. This is how people do it when, you know, they don't want to lose money. They got too much to lose. They just engineer it.
Right. So, and that's available to you and me?
Well, yeah, if you make over $100,000 a year. Yeah. And I mean, again, that's a threshold, but it's a threshold that a lot more people fit into than, you know, $15 to $20 million net worth. Right. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then there's all sorts of little tricks like that, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're all over the place. And that's what's been really fun for me, because I've taken this taking this really by the horns. And I mean, I really love learning about this stuff and talking about it. And every time I think I've figured out, you know, okay, well, you know, there couldn't be anything else, and there is something else. And it's just remarkable to me. And part of that is also, you know, how wealthy you are. And the, certainly the wealthier you get, the more options that opened up to you. It's just, you know, part of the challenge, the biggest challenge for most people is being open to it, knowing that there is another world that sits behind the curtain, and that when certain things are become available to you, that you actually know about it so you can participate.
Uh-huh. And so you've been using these techniques yourself?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. And since you started being just an investor, have you ever thought back of going back to practice medicine?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I stopped, like I said, I finished my training about 8 or 9 years ago. And I've been investing in, you know, a number of cash flowing type investments and, you know, using some of these financial engineering products. And at this point, you know, I stopped practicing about a year ago completely. I was part-time about a year ago. So I, you know, I was training until I was 34 and practiced full-time till I was about 38, 39 and, you know, maybe 40 years old and then left it completely in just a couple, you know, about a year ago. So, you know, it's, I don't look back on it. I mean, I did a lot of training. I did a lot of medicine. And believe me, I think if I don't, the one thing I think that's really important for people to know is that I don't say, hey, you know, stop what you're doing. This is a better way to live or whatever. My point is simply this: do what you do, whether you're a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, you know, any, whatever you do that's making you a decent income, do it because you love it and enjoy it. But invest like the wealthy. And so when you invest like the wealthy, you only have to, you know, you're really only going to do things if you want to do things, because your investments are ultimately going to make more than you can make on a yearly basis. I truly believe that. I mean, I'm a living example of that. So,
hey, well, that's a great thing. And now you get to help other people do what you've done. And I'm sure you've got some good stories about people who've done what you say. Hey, first, we've got a message from our sponsor, which just happens to be Wealth Formula Podcast. And when we return, we will find out about other people that Buck has helped.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Are you a highly paid professional, a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer? Well, here's a podcast for you. It's called Wealth Formula Podcast, and you'll find it at wealthformula.com. Robert Kiyosaki, Jim Rickards, Fannie Mae Chief Economist, Doug Duncan, they're just a few of the recent guests on this podcast that I'd like to recommend you try out. Wealth Formula Podcast is a really unique show, and it's great if you're looking to build generational wealth. The host, Buck Joffrey, is an ex-surgeon who retired and is now an entrepreneur and investor with a focus on peeling back the secrets of the ultra-wealthy. It's a great show for professionals and entrepreneurs. Check it out. You'll find it at wealthformula.com. Podcast is available on the usual platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, or just Google it, Wealth Formula Podcast.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
All right. And we are back with our good friend, Buck Joffrey, Wealth Formula Podcast. Hey, so, Buck, tell us about people you've helped to change their investing paradigm, shift their whole focus in the way to make your money work for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get emails about this all the time, and it's, and again, I want everybody to just experience what I'm talking about, listen to what I'm doing. I've got a book. It's, Seven Secrets of Eternal Wealth. And by the way, you can even text download that at 44222 and just text, Wealth Formula. That's one word, and you can get that. But the bottom line is that I think that the biggest thing I hear from people who listen to the show and who are starting to open their eyes to all this stuff is the idea that, you know, why didn't somebody tell me about this before? Right. And there's almost sometimes frustration, even anger on that, because it seems like some of these products just seem too good to be true. Some of these things, some of these ideas just open their eyes and say, well, gosh, this whole idea of investing for, investing for cash flow, for example, and taking out the confusion about, you know, how much to invest and how much do you need to retire? All these questions has really been life changing. And I think the biggest hurdle that I think the show helps people with is that some of these ideas that I talk about are ideas that are, you know, certainly not new, and there's been exposure. I mean, my mentor, Robert Kiyosaki, a guy I learned a lot from reading his books, and have fortunately gotten to meet a few times, and he was even on the show recently has been talking a lot about, has talked about this, these concepts of cash flow, that some of the things that we talk about for, you know, a good 20 plus years, and has influenced a lot of people. But I think part of the issue for a lot of high paid professionals like myself is they don't really see others, colleagues who are doing it. And so being somebody who was there like them, and using some of these other principles to create cash flow, I think has given a lot of people confidence. I get emails just saying, you know, thanks for, you know, showing me that I could do this and giving me not only the ideas, which, you know, I think Kiyosaki had done a lot of, at least in terms of cash flow, but also real ways of implementing those, whether that's introductions and specific products, or you know, introductions to specific opportunities, things like that. I like to think of myself as not only, you know, teaching and you know, trying to expose people to these concepts, but also giving them a practical way to immediately implement them in many cases. So I see that all the time. And, you know, my audience is pretty, I would say they're pretty ravenous about the content, and it's, you know, hopefully check it out and, you know, you might find it to be the same way. So.
Interesting. So we're looking at cash flow investing as opposed to what do people most do and do mistakenly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's a mistake. I mean, you look at what we're talking about right now with the markets, for example, right? I mean, if you're investing in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, well, first of all, if you're investing in mutual funds, you're paying probably, you know, 3.5% in fees per year. So it means that you have to, you know, you have to make at least that much every year to even break even. So, you know, the other thing is that what we're doing here, and again, Kerry, when you talked about when you talked at the beginning of this, we're looking at the markets, right? That's a game of hope, right? The game of hope is just hoping that you put your money into something and it goes up. What I'm saying, and one of the fundamentals of our show is, okay, first of all, if you're going to invest in the stock market, use tools that are going to protect your downside. And well, we talked about one with Velocity Plus, which you can see at wealthformulabanking.com. But if you're so you can get exposure to those markets. I'm not saying don't, but just protect your downside. But on the other side, there is cash flow investing, which I'm a huge advocate for. Why? Because, you know, listen, let's take the example of what happened in 2008. A lot of people say, well, Buck, you're talking about real estate, but it's not like real estate didn't go down in 2008. Of course it did. So markets go down. All these asset classes go down with each other. But here's the thing. Guys like my dad, for example, who's been a real estate investor for now 50, 60 years, when 2008 came, he bought these things. He didn't buy them in a speculative for speculative purposes. He was buying them for cash flow. Well, people, if they wanted to live in those rentals that he had, they still had to pay him rent. So regardless of whether or not those rental properties went down in value by, you know, 30-40%, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. He didn't even notice the difference, because if people wanted to live there, they're still going to pay him rent. And guess what? A lot of people who got evicted from their homes and that sort of thing ended up having to rent anyway. And so the rental market got stronger. So my point is that I want to eliminate, for the most part in my investing, and what I advocate for most people is take, you know, try to make it more predictable. Investing naked in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, and hoping for them to go in the right direction, is speculative. It is not it's not controlling your destiny. And I think there are many ways to control your financial destiny that people need to explore.
Right. So it's faith-based investing. You know, the thing I hear, Buck, as people say, well, the market's always gone up before. It's never stayed down for more than 5 years on average. And therefore, it's always a good time to invest in the stock market. I mean, what do you say to that?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, first of all, you know, there may be some truth if you look historically to that fact. So there's a couple of things I would say. First of all, if you don't have to take the downside, why take it? Right? Because obviously, if your portfolio doesn't correct by 40%, you're going to be better off than if it does correct by 40%. So why take the downside? That's the first point. The second point is, past performance does not dictate future results. And we live, Carrie, as you know, we live in unparalleled financial times right now, right? We live in a time where we have, what, $20 trillion of debt. If you look at the turn of the century, you know, the year 2000, we were only at around $4 or $5 trillion. So we've managed to just quadruple our national debt within the short period of time. We've had 0% interest rates for, you know, over, well, it's been about a decade now, near zero interest rates for over a decade. And that has led to a ballooning of assets. It's an artificial ballooned economy. We have a quadrillion dollar derivatives market. The banks that were too big to fail in 2008 are now bigger and are still able to very easily fail because of this derivatives market. The point is that the economy right now is it's like a pig with lipstick on it right now, right? It's I wouldn't be surprised if we still have another booming year in the market for the next year or two. But when the party's over, I'm not going to be surprised. And I think most people who are really paying attention to the realities of the economy are not going to be surprised at all.
Hey, well, you know, anything can happen. And really, if you look at the past, you know, debt has killed many a civilization in history, and probably foolish to think that somehow the U.S. can escape the fate of other debt-laden empires. But right now it's happening very slowly. Maybe it'll happen in another generation. We don't know. But risk with excessive debt, risk gets higher, right, in all your investments.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think my point is, I'm definitely not a doomsday guy, right? I mean, there's enough doomsday podcasters out there. There's enough people predicting the zombie apocalypse. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, listen, let's create an all-weather way of investing, right? This is what we're going to do. We're going to protect our downside, and we're going to take the vast majority of the upside that's available in the market. We're not going to sit there like Chicken Little and watch the, you know, Dow go up by another, you know, 10,000 and wish we were there. I mean, I think anybody who's sitting on cash for the next probably year or maybe 2 years is probably going to feel a little foolish. But at the end of the day, there are ways to mitigate your downside. That's the only thing that I think that I am saying is, I'm saying there is better ways to do it. There are ways to control your financial destiny, because the ultra wealthy, at the end of the day, they don't speculate. They engineer their financial future.
Very true. So it's like that book, The Millionaire Next Door, right?
Yeah, right, right.
They just think differently. And I guess that's what you need to do. You need to think differently when you're investing, because doing what everyone else is doing, you're going to wind up like everybody else, right?
Well, right, because at the end of the day, there's really two worlds. There's the world, there's the market makers, and then there's the rest of us. And the Wall Street needs the poor, the middle class, and you know, some of the professionals who aren't paying attention, because how else are you going to siphon off a bunch of profits? I mean, when
that's a little cynical.
They need the sacrificial lambs, otherwise there's no feast, right?
Yeah. So, very true.
So I think that's all I'm trying to get across, is that for a lot of people out there, you don't have to be a sacrificial lamb. You're in a good position. You just, the only difference between you and others is that you're not, you don't know the secrets yet. That's all.
Yeah. and they're out there available to you. And what do you think? You know, obviously, this way of thinking, it took you a while to kind of embrace it and figure it out. When did that aha moment occur? How did you figure it out?
Well, you know, I'm also a big advocate of the concept of what I call it tribal investing, Carrie, because the idea is that one of the things that the ultra wealthy do is, again, when it comes to the idea of investing, they don't just throw things out to chance, right? The best opportunities come to these people. And what I started realizing is when I started digging into this world, is I started getting opportunities that kind of fell into my lap that were sort of no-brainers. And it was because who I knew, and because it was because I had dug into a world that I wasn't a part of. So back in 2010, I had become friends with a guy who was a fund manager, was doing a lot of commercial lending, and he had a commercial lending hedge fund, and he had a couple of properties that one of his investors was interested in, and fairly quickly liquidating so that he could look onto another opportunity, and he presented them to me. And he'd actually even done the underwriting himself and said, hey, this is the deal. These are properties. If they want them, they're yours. So I said, okay, great. What's the catch? No catch. Just got to close pretty quickly here. Okay, I can do that. And by the way, I'll even, you know, he was a mortgage provider. I already know I can get you the mortgage on these. So don't even worry about it. If you can do better, that's fine. All right, great. So I buy them. The next thing you know, I'm cash flowing like 20% annualized in each one of them. And that was in 2010. Both of those properties have appreciated both by over $1 million each.
Wow.
So what have I done? What did I do? I mean, listen, part of this is, again, just knowing the right people, being in a situation where it's a tribal thing where, you know, people are passing around the goods to each other, the people who they know, like, and trust. And then, you know, there's these reciprocal things, these reciprocal relationships that build, you know, and people are feeding each other. And that's another thing that I find that, you know, a lot of the ultra wealthy do. And it's, again, it's something that you can absolutely be part of something like that. You know, if you're looking for it and you've got, you know, some money, not millions and millions of dollars, but you make six figures in your head, you absolutely can be part of that kind of thing. So for me, the aha moment, Carrie, would really have been probably in 2010, because that was pretty early on. And I was like, whoa, what just happened? All these people are out there looking for things and trying to figure out how to make things work. This just came into my lap and there was no other buyers.
Uh-huh. That's really interesting. So really what you're saying is kind of anybody can do this. There's these informal networks and really you need to kind of tap into them, if you will, and that will do it for you, huh?
Well, I think that's a big part of it. With Wealth Formula Podcast, that's part of what I try to do is try to introduce people. You know, particularly we have an investor group, but it's full of like accredited investors with opportunities that for one reason or another that I have, you know, I've gotten to know, like, and trust myself, who are in my network, and just try to get people exposure to that. Now, it's not to say that, you know, it's just my own circle. What's happened for me, which is kind of lucky, is having this show and having, you know, a circle of listeners now who have their own networks. I've been able to sort of get adopted into multiple different circles myself. So it happens over time. But, you know, one thing that you said, Carrie, was that people need to think about their investments a little differently. I'll take it a step further. I think people need to start thinking about their investments. Right. Because most people don't. Right. I mean, and that's not that, and I don't mean that to be insulting. The reality is that this is all these super smart people out there, you know, these really high paid professionals who think that all they need to do is hand their money over to a wealth advisor. And then magically, you know, 40 years later, 35 years later, whatever, there's a pot of gold sitting there at the end. That's just not the way it works. Maybe it worked by dumb luck in the past, but we don't live in that world anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Well, obviously, if people want to find out more about you, they're going to go to wealthformula.com. Suggest you take a look at the site. Think about what Buck has been saying here. It's very important. Hey, Buck, it's really been great to have you back on the show here. You know, I learn a lot every time you come on, I have to say, and I always consider myself to be pretty savvy about this, but cash flow is definitely king for investments. But you don't want to do the thing where you buy these stocks that are beat to hell, that are yielding unbelievable dividends, because in that case, you know, almost for certain that the dividend will be cut, right? I mean, there's no question. So you have to look for cash flow, but don't look for it in all the wrong places, which is what so many of you do out there. Hey, if you got a question for Buck or myself, just email me at kl@kerrylutz.com. We'll pass it along to Buck and we'll get you an answer for your question. Don't forget the Twitter feeds at Kerry Lutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. And Buck, wish you the best of luck, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks for having me, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.